Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. Today is Friday, June 28, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 28, the third full paragraph. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Joanne L. on the steps, Kathy P. on the traditions. Penny L.C. will be our reader of the text. Dion R. will read our closing. And Julie E.B. is our backup person. Sherry M. is our newcomer greeter. And Shelley E. will give announcements. The reference number. For yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, that would be Thursday, June 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,527. And this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, June 28th, is 21,529. 21529. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you very much for your service. And also, it was a pleasure to be with you this month. And I thank Leah as well. I am Joanne from Rhode Island, and I am recovering one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. And I'll now ask Kathy P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
I'm Kathy P. from Oregon. Thank you, Jody, and all of Team Friday for your service this month. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there has been what ultimate authority? A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy P. from Oregon. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To press to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 28, the third full paragraph, beginning with the distinguished psychologist. I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading and to share.
Thank you, Jody, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The distinguished American psychologist William James, in his book, Varieties of Religious Experience, indicates a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living Creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms, as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. There is no friction among us over such matters. And in reflection, I'd like to point out that there is a clear distinction outlined in this paragraph. What is referred to is religion by a psychologist. Defining religion is a particular system of faith and worship. Defining psychologist is an expert in the science of mind and behaviors, an objective specialist striving to study and learn about how humans think and function. Well, humans do desire a belief system, which can vary in structure from different perspectives. Yet the distinction this program is based on is that religion is not the solution. The solution offered and focused on here is spirituality. This book, this program, is about non-religious experiences that help an addict get in touch with their spiritual self. My spiritual relationship with a power greater than myself has been my solution, has allowed me to mature, to change, has led me to a new way of life, a new design for living that works, that has given me serenity, freedom, and peace. The point is also made that this solution is available to every human being, no matter their social structure, their religious beliefs, or their ancestral background. The solution is based on what we all have in common, what we have deep down within each of us, is the fundamental idea of a power, a higher power, a greater power. This solution is available to me and you when we are willing to pursue this relationship with a higher power, as well as honest in our endeavors, our intentions, and our efforts. Again, how do I begin? The same way I continue daily, by staying honest, open-minded, and willing to hear a solution that works. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. I will now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Again, it's on page 28, the third paragraph. And I'll just remind everyone first that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Ian F.
Karen M. W.
Okay, I got Ian F. and Karen W.
Catherine M.
Yeah, Carrie W.
Carrie W. And who was the other lady?
Catherine M.
Catherine M.
Rita Q.
Or
Lisa G.
No, Rita, or R-I-T-A, Rita Q.
Risa G.
Q for Quebec.
Or.
And who else is there? I have Ian.
Yeah.
Ian, Karen, Catherine, and Risa. Dion R. Okay, that's enough for now. Ian S, Karen W, Catherine M, Risa, I still didn't get your initial, and Dion R. Please go ahead, Ian.
Hi, I'm Ian F, compulsive reader out of New Albany, Indiana. The phrase simple and understandable terms. I can very quickly convince myself that I'm not worth anything. I've never loved anyone and no one has ever loved me because I make one mistake at work on last night. Because my brain is just, I don't know, it's an evil, chaotic disease that I have. And you know, I love philosophy. I love being lofty. I love being analytical. It really gets me going. But when I got in this program, that stuff killed me. You know, even the book says one of my favorite things about this book is that it's not trying to say we have the answer for everybody. It specifically says, if you relate to what's in this book, we might be able to help you. And if not, cool, leave. We don't care. You know? My relationship with a higher power does not look like other people's. It's not supposed to. No one's supposed to look like everyone else's. My relationship with a higher power is that, you know, this phrase pops into my brain every once in a while. You're going to be okay, kid. And that's all it's got to be. You know, when I share, I don't have to be wise. When I go out into the world, I don't have to be wise. You know, my God doesn't have to be complicated. It really can't be. And that's what spoke to me about this. Is keep it simple is a slogan, but it's also a way of life that I desperately need. Let me get that reminder. I will pass. Love y'all.
Thank you, ENS from Indiana. Karen W., please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Gary W. Can you hear me?
Would you say your first name again?
It's Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, Carrie W. from California.
Thank you, Carrie.
And this is my first time staring on the line. I've been listening for 7 years, so I finally decided I better get sharing. And so hello, everybody, and thank you for everyone that's doing service. And this paragraph is my favorite part of this program, in that it's all-inclusive, and we get to pick our own higher power. And I think that is probably what kept me in this program, is that it's a spiritual program, and I am able to have my own experience and have this big, giant, loving higher power that takes care of me and helps me with my compulsive overeating. And I don't think if they had told me that I had to have, you know, a certain God, I probably wouldn't have stayed. So this is a really important part of the program for me. And I love that it says that people of all race and creeds and colors, you know, we're all children of the living creator. And it's just a beautiful way to live. And I have to remember that to keep myself, you know, in that spirit of my higher power and be loving and kind. So thank you for letting me share. I just wanted to say hello and claim my seat, and I'll try and get myself to share more often. Thank you.
Wonderful, Carrie. So glad. Yeah. Thank you, and glad to hear you. Catherine M., please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Catherine M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and sugar addict in the Seattle area. In my first big book decades ago, where it says those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies, I wrote, ha. And I was so upset when I read that. The tradition that I was coming in from at that point is who I believe in is really a loving mother goddess. And so I went through my first big book. I crossed out all the he's and changed them to she's and the his and the hers and all the pronouns. And I really struggled with that. And at my very first meeting that I went to, they asked me to lead the Lord's Prayer at the end. And this was 1987 in Los Angeles. And I felt, okay, I'm in the wrong place. And they had also said in the meeting, a woman said, oh, being abstinent means you don't eat sugar, which I found out later is how she defined it, not necessarily how AA defines it. But I thought, okay, I am, you know, between these two things, I just do not belong here. But the woman who had 12-stepped me was in my spiritual tradition, and I went back to her and I said, you know, how do you do all this? And she basically said, just keep coming back. And I was very fortunate to find a recovered sponsor at that time who took me through the big book exactly as written. And the, you know, one of the many spiritual awakenings I've had as a result of this program was, you know, when we were talking through step 11, and I really got that it doesn't matter what I call my higher power or what you call your higher power or what the guy down the street calls his higher power. I had to resign from the debating society and just say, just because you believe something doesn't make me wrong, because I'm very sensitive to being wrong. And I know that there are people who absolutely will believe that I am going to hell for the life that I lead, the things that I believe, and, you know, that's none of my business. One of the things I heard in program a long time ago is religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell and spirituality is for people who've been there. And that really hit. And I said that to a guy like 27 years ago, and he said, "Where'd you hear that?" And I said, "In a meeting." He said, "What kind of meeting?" And I've been married to him for 26 years. So, you know, there is definitely something here that has called me and kept me alive. And I had one of those white light spiritual moments in May of 1990, where I really felt that contact with my creator. And it still doesn't matter what I call it or what you call it. So if you're someone who's out there like I often am, feeling like I am the only one who believes these things or feels this way, you're not. It's a little hard to find each other sometimes, and that's why I decided I don't usually share, but I just felt like I really had to share on this. So I'm Catherine M., Catherine with a C, M like in miracle, in Washington State. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Catherine M. from Washington. Lisa. Please go ahead and let us know your initial and where you're calling from, please.
Well, hi, Jody. My name is Rita with a T, Q, as in Quebec, and I am calling from the UK. My name's Rita Q, sorry, recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. I love this paragraph because I was brought up with a cradle faith, and that had no bearing on my disease at all. It didn't help me at all one bit when I came into the rooms. And what I love is that I had to re-find a faith. What I have is religion. But coming into the rooms and working on a program and having a higher power, I got a faith, and that was beautiful. And the faith was realizing that I had to be fully reliant on God. And when I relapsed it's a good few years ago now, it's at least over 5 years, when I came out of relapse, I had a massive bright white moment where, you know, I got slapped across the face by my higher power, by God. I use the term God. And I often say to people that doesn't always happen like that, but it had to for me because my relapse was so bad. It was the only way it was going to shake me out of it and realize. So I have a faith, but I don't ever, ever lead with that when I sponsor people. I don't ever say it because I want them to come to it themselves, and I sponsor a lot of people who don't believe, and it's beautiful just watching that faith come in. I think it's a beautiful thing just watching somebody go from relying on themselves and having suicidal ideations to relying on something they can't quite explain. In the same way, I can't tell you why my nails grow, I can't really tell you why my hair grows, but it does, and it's a wonderful thing. So I just think it's really lovely, and nothing in this book has disturbed my own personal faith. It's just enhanced it because now I have a relationship with God and I hear him all the time, and he makes me very uncomfortable when I'm not supposed to do certain things. And I love it, and I wouldn't want to live any other way. So for anybody out there who's struggling and anybody who hasn't quite got there, it's just about building relationships with something you don't quite understand. I have to talk to God every day. I have to check into my higher power every day. I have to make sure that that is the center point and my North Star for every decision that I make, because if it's not, it's no longer a God job, it's a Rita job. And if that happens, I'm sunk, because I might as well be on the Titanic. There's no hope of my recovery if I take over the helm. So I'm just delighted to be here and grateful for everybody giving service. I'll pass.
Thank you so very much, Risa. T, Q is what I think you said, TQ from the UK. You have a beautiful accent. Okay, Dion R, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, good morning, everyone. You all have a beautiful accent to me. It just sounds like a beautiful garden of love today. Just remind me being in a garden of flowers, all different colors, arrangements, sizes, but they all in formation, if that makes sense. And whatever that formation is, that's where they're growing toward. And it seems for some kind of way it comes together. That's what I heard, even from the beginners, the first person here. how she broke that down. It was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful. And then even to keep it simple. Some days I just got to keep my higher power and the meaning of him simple. And other ways of hearing that it does not have to be a religious. Not at all. So if it was, this religious person I am, I guess I'm more spiritual than anything, but I didn't have anything to do with you guys talking about religion. Oh. But today, like I said, I have a creator, and he's a great creator that includes everyone. And this program has worked back in 1935. That's what I love about it. He said, we grabbed on a flimsy reed, the previous paragraphs and things. And to me, that's just like tall grass, empty grass. I grabbed hold of whatever they said. Because they said, you can always go back to your way of thinking. Of it. Try something different, whatever. And that ever got me to a strong oak tree of a belief, if that makes sense, if you're talking about reeds and trees. It's an oak, you know what I mean? It's there. He's always there. And my God. And it does, and one time it was a girl. It whatever. Today, it's my God. And that's what I think we all saying is, we get our own established religion and love from here. And with that love, we all go in the right direction. So I'm not even worried. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you. I just appreciate all your shares. That was gorgeous today. And I'm okay.
Thank you, Dion R. from Georgia. Okay, we are on page 28, the third full paragraph, the distinguished American psychologist, William James. And I'll now take another lineup of people who would like to share on that passage.
Elaine B. California.
Elaine B. And who from California?
Liz A.
Liz A. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Who else? We've got Elaine B. and Liz A. Okay, we'll go with Elaine B. and Liz A. Go ahead, Elaine.
Oh, Christine L.
Yeah. Thank you.
Go ahead, Elaine. Press star 1 to unmute Elaine.
I'm sorry, I accidentally muted myself instead of unmuted. I thought somebody else was coming in too, so I think we're all set. Thank you so much. Oh, I appreciate your service, Jody E., and this is such a powerful and really important, really, really important focus here for all of us. And, you know, all of us, no matter what our background is, really the solution lies on forming a relationship with our Creator. And just simple and understandable terms, as soon as we're willing and honest enough to try. And, you know, the relationships that we have with anybody, everybody that we choose as friends, that we choose as a spouse, that we choose as a place to work, we choose. We get to choose. We get to make that choice, and we get to continue to make that choice. Are we going to stick with this? Is this working for us? Is it not working for us? But this particular relationship with our Creator, with relationship with a power greater than ourselves, is the keystone of the success that we have in this program. And I am so incredibly grateful for the many, many people on A Vision for You that share their experience, strength, and hope. But the number of people that we're out to here, that people totally get our disease and our thinking, and that they understand the 10-step and fears and what to do with them. And then what do you do with that 9-step? How can I even do that in step 8 to really make a plan that's going to work and turn things around? But the anchor of it all is this Creator, and it's about forming a relationship. We don't know anybody when it first starts, you know. I remember the very first time I met my husband, I was impressed by him, but it was many years before we became husband and wife. And so it's in simple, understandable terms, as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. So, you know, I built a friendship with my husband, and then years later we got married, and we just celebrated 20 years, but we're still working on the relationship, and that gets to be the same, you know, for each one of us. And it's what I have found is that in the relationships that I build, that it comes over time where the faith increases, where the trust increases, where the willingness to share, that, you know, spill your gut and pray kind of friendship is such a gift to me. And I found it in these rooms more than any other place other than my marriage. And actually, he's the one who 12-stepped me for the first time. So it's just so important to just be open to this relationship, because it really is the keystone. That's the anchor. That's the hem that's going to hold us no matter where we are. If we're alone, we can't use the phone, whatever the situation is, right then and there. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Elaine B. Liz A., please go ahead. And I did hear you, Christine L. You can come in after Liz A.
This is, good morning. This is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. Thank you, everyone, for your service this month. It's been so terrific. What stood out for me is where it says we're the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. And, you know, my conception of God changes daily. Sometimes it's that still small voice that shows itself as my intuition, you know, very different from my will and my crazy thinking, an intuition. Sometimes it's like that angel that shows up in my life just when I need help. Like, what are the chances that that person was there at that time to help me? Sometimes it's just like the words or the actions from a fellow, you know, in program. They inspire me. You know, inspiration comes, I think, from the Greek or the Latin, I don't know, in spirit, you know, God in me. Sometimes, you know, I guess sometimes it's just every event is teaching me something. And then I go back to the story where it says nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. If that's the case, everything is there for a lesson for me. God is the conductor of the orchestra of life, and I'm only a little tiny instrument in that orchestra, and I don't see all the other players' music. So I need to step back and let God be that conductor. You know, I also had one of those white light spiritual experiences back in 1987. But just as I can't feel full on yesterday's meal, so I have to constantly feed my soul, my connection with my higher power, by doing the 10th and the 11th, and especially the 12th step, you know, continuing to carry this message to other compulsive overeaders and carrying and practicing the principles in all my affairs. Working these steps is getting closer to God. I guess that's all I have. Thank you all for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Liz A. from California. Christine L., are you there? Would you like to share?
Yes, thank you. What spoke to me was the multitude of ways in which men have discovered God, and then just talking about race, creed, color, just the individuality of each of us. We're all individuals, and that God is big enough to meet us in a personal way, no matter who we are or what we've done or where we're at. And that just brings me trust and hope and encouragement as I continue to work the steps in my recovery, that how big God is and that He is a personal God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christine L. Didn't catch where you're from. Do you want to let us know? It makes it easier for people to find us on the member list if we say what state we're from.
Florida, thank you.
Florida, Christine L. from Florida. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, we have time for another list. Who else would like to share?
Nancy
we
L. J.
20.
Oops, sorry.
Nancy L. J. Gotcha. We're on page 28, the third paragraph.
Don
Anyone
B.
Else? Don B. Gotcha.
Surrey C.
Janice K.
Surrey C.
Christina M.
Hold on. Surrey C. Janice K. And who was that last person?
Christina M.
Christina M. Okay, let's stop there. Nancy L. J., Don B., Surrey C., Janice K., and Christina M. Please go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you very much, moderator. Sorry to step on you. I didn't mean to do that. Good morning. I'm Nancy L. J. in California, gratefully recovered. And the sweetest thing I've heard this morning is that God says, it's going to be okay, buddy. And I totally relate to that. And thank you for who said that. And I just got back from a vacation and, you know, I spent some money and the credit card bill came in for the hotel and all that business, you know, and I was in a lot of fear of opening up my account and paying these bills. And the biggest thing that happened to me was that I was thinking I got paid today and it's actually next Friday. So it's okay, you know, and it's going to be okay, buddy, is what I got. And I'm hanging on to that. And that's what this program does for me also, because I'm not smart enough to figure out God, you know. I just know that He is, because I'm abstinent. This latest abstinence of a year and a half is a miracle. He either is or He isn't. He absolutely is, but I don't know, man. All I know is He's got me, and I'm hanging on, and I'm so grateful for that. And I think that's all I'm going to share today, and thank you so much, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Nancy LJ from California. Dawn B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And yeah, this is a great paragraph. We have no desire to convince anyone there's only one way by which faith can be acquired, and that all of us are children of a living Creator with whom we can form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms. I just love that. To me, that reminds me of, you know, thinking of flowers when I'm out on a walk. There's all different kinds of flowers, even if they're the same variety. You know, I look at each of them individually, and they're all unique. They're all beautiful, but they're all unique. And so I feel like that's how God creates. And so we're all unique. And for me to, you know, criticize one of the flowers or think, oh, it's not, or even to look at myself and say, oh, I'm not good enough because I'm not like this other person, or my food plan isn't good enough because it's not like this other person's, or my way of doing the program isn't good enough because it's not just like somebody else's, doesn't really make any sense. Because we're as children of this Creator, we are infinitely loved, precious beyond measure. And one time I was holding my young son, and he was wrapped up in a little blanket, and he just had such a peaceful look on his little sweet face. And I thought, man, if I love him this much, just think about how much God loves him and how much God loves me. And I I felt like these words came to me. It's like, you know, sweet Donnie, you too, sweet one, can rest with this infinite, deep, deep love, knowing that you are so precious and so loved beyond measure, sweet one. Rest with deep peace, because I delight in you exactly as you are, sweet one. All is well. All is well. And I just felt deep in my heart, you know, because of the power of God's love, because we are all children, that we are deeply loved, so precious, and being held so safely and so securely in loving arms of a power much greater than ourselves. And so we really don't need to worry. I really don't need to worry, because the truth of the matter is, if I only knew how much I am loved and cared for by God, and my children are loved and cared for by God, I would never worry again. I would not be afraid. And I believe that's the message for me to be Donnie. God calls me Donnie. All is well. You don't need to worry because of the power of my love for you. You are my precious child. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dawn B. from California. Sherry C., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Sherry C. from Connecticut. Well, I'm grateful for this paragraph, but I remain grateful for this line, the consistency of it, the service, the volunteers, those that do service, because when looking at, you know, and while reading this paragraph, I mean, it seems almost technicolor, you know, I want to say that it seems like it's hippie and it's when things are easy and when things are, when everyone around you is a smiling face, that's not when it's hard to, you know, if you take it for granted, yes. But when you're in an empty house, and when you're alone, and when everyone around you just says the wrong thing, right? When I say wrong, I mean, oh, you know, your outfit is disgusting, and did you brush your hair? And all they see, or you have that face, you're just not presenting well, and all they see is the flaws. That's when it's hard to feel the presence of your higher power. That's when, you know, the triggers to go back to the substance are so great, because tapping into that inner peace, that inner voice, the gratitude, the humility, you know, being humble doesn't mean that I have to sit in a garbage heap. Being humble is sometimes harder. No, it is harder when you're at the top of the pile. But top of the pile, in the garbage heap, that struggle is the same. I'm a compulsive overeater. I will eat rather than feel my emotions. And I appreciate there being a place where I can say that. I can pray to my higher power for the assistance, because I cannot do this alone. So thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Hello?
Jody, we can't hear you. Ah, it was me that was muted. Thank you, Sari C. Janice K, press star one.
Okay. I think I did.
I hear you now.
Okay, good. There are a lovely collection of phrases in this paragraph that it can hold very dear. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, wow, what a variety of learning modalities. Thought, feeling, and vision. Very powerful influences, all of them. And I love the phrase, whatever our race, creed, or color, we are children of a living creator with whom we form a relationship on simple and understandable terms. When I was very, very young, I was taught the basic idea of God. God is loving, God is big, I am small. You know what? It got more complicated after that, not necessarily needfully. A lot of, as has been observed, a lot of religion is just rules and regulations. Spirituality is what I know to be true. And what I know to be true is God is big, God is kind, I am small, I need to rely on Him. I love the comment made earlier. Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. That generosity of spirit does not always sit well with established religions. I think it frightens and threatens some of them. Our book also says that deep inside every man, woman, and child is the idea of God. And that's what we do. We find our idea of God, and we help it grow, and we ask it in. And since we are so many, because we are such individuals, each of us has a God that is slightly different, but much the same. Many of us use the words loving, kind, and powerful for our higher power. And in one way or another, that seems to describe it well. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. I'm sorry, Christina M., but we've run out of time for sharing. Please come back on Monday and share. All right. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dion R. please read for us? Dion, press star one.
Yes, Miss Jody. Thank you. Allow me to be a part of recovery for this month. I'm doing this, but here we go. We are on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for all of you and countless others. This is a fact. No, this is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him or to your fellows, and to your fellows. I'm sorry. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Get free of what you find and enjoy. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I'll pass.